Over the next hour, one doctor came in and another left. The mailman showed up with the day's deliveries, as did the UPS truck. An ambulance arrived with a cadaver of an old woman that Casey rolled away, presumably into storage. Then, a young couple came in. The girl was about 5'6" and pleasantly pretty, even without much in the way of makeup. She was dressed in sandals, a simple blue sundress, and a wool jacket. Her hair was cut into a bob full of unruly brown curls, and her eyes were bloodshot with fatigue. The young man wore a simple, well-cut business suit. He was a little under 6 feet tall, had Asian features, wire-rimmed glasses, wide shoulders, and wore his hair in a long ponytail. I recognized them. Alicia Nelson and Li Xian from the picture on the cover of the newsletter Rawlins had given me. Dr. Bartlesby's missing assistants had come to the morgue. I remained very still and tried to think thoughts that would make me blend in with the wall. They walked to the security desk and stood so close to me that I didn't need to bother with listening to them. "Good morning," Alicia said, producing a driver's license and showing it to Casey. "My name is Alicia Nelson. I'm the late Dr. Bartlesby's assistant. I understand that his remains have been brought here." Casey regarded her without much in the way of expression. "Ma'am, we do not make that kind of information available to the public in order to protect the relatives of the deceased." She nodded, drew an envelope out of her purse, and passed that to Casey as well. "The doctor had no surviving family or next of kin," she said, "but he granted me power of attorney over his estate 2 years ago. The paperwork is all in order." Casey scanned it, frowning. Alicia pushed brown curls wearily from her eyes. "Please, sir, the doctor had several personal effects which I need to take into custody as soon as possible. Passwords, credit cards, keys, that sort of thing. They were in his wallet."
"What's the rush?" Casey drawled.
"Some of his effects could potentially grant a thief access to his accounts and security boxes. As you can see in the documents, he wanted control of them to pass to me, until I could arrange to have them passed on to the charities he patronized."
Casey folded up the pages again and put them back in the envelope. "Ma'am, you're going to have to speak with our director, Dr. Brioche. I'm sure he'll be happy to help you out."
"All right," Alicia agreed. "Is he available?"
"I'll go speak to him," Casey said. "If you'll wait here, please."
"Of course," the girl replied. She waited for Casey to go through the security door, and then spun on her heel and stalked over to the entrance, staring out at the morning sunlight. Her posture was stiff with anger. She leaned her forearm on the glass door and pressed her forehead to it. The tall, young man, Li Xian, had remained silent the whole while. He followed her over to the door and spoke in a quiet voice I could scarcely hear. I narrowed my eyes and listened.
"Back at any moment," Xian murmured. "We should sit down."
"Don't tell me what to do," Alicia shot back in a heated whisper. "I'm weary, not idiotic."
"You should get some rest before you do anything more," Xian said. "I don't see why you're playing games. You should have let me follow the guard back."
"Stop thinking with your stomach," the girl growled. "It's bad enough that you lost control without adding a further lack of discipline to the situation."
"We are not here because I stopped to eat,"
Xian replied, anger of his own in his whisper.
"If you hadn't indulged yourself, we wouldn't face this problem."
The girl spun from the glass, facing Xian squarely, her face contorted with pride and anger. "Your attitude, Li, is making you part of the problem, not part of the solution." The long-haired man went white and cringed back from the girl. His face rippled, a sort of slithery motion just beneath the surface of his skin that stretched his features grotesquely, causing a slight sinking of the eyes, a slight elongation of the jaw. He let out a gasp, and when his mouth opened, I could see the teeth of a carnivore. It happened for only a second, but I averted my eyes before he might have noticed me watching him. If he had seen me, I would have been in immediate danger. I'd seen a flash of Li Xian's true face. He was a ghoul. Ghouls are preternatural predators who derive their primary sustenance from devouring human flesh. Fresh, cold, rotting, they don't care as long as it gets into their bellies. My stomach turned. Butters said that someone had removed Bartlesby's quadriceps, the long, strong muscles on the front of the thigh. It had been Shion. He'd carved himself steaks from the old man's corpse. If he suspected that I knew what he was, he might decide to protect himself with extreme prejudice, and that would be bad. Ghouls are quick, strong, and harder to kill than a juicy rumor about the president. I'd fought ghouls before, and it wasn't something I wanted to repeat if I could avoid it, especially given that I'd left my staff in Butters' office.